Until a person is able to experience not just love, but God's love, there will always be a sense of emptiness no matter what you attempt to fill it up with.
Alcohol abuse, drug abuse, immorality. Not the kinds of things you're used to hearing about at Christmas time. But it seems that these activities increase around the holiday season. Have you ever thought about why these problems are on the rise? What makes a person turn to alcohol, drugs, or immorality? Could it be that people are trying to fill a void on the inside? Well, today on In Touch, Charles Stanley reminds us that those types of temporary experiences will never satisfy the emptiness of the spirit. The only thing that can fill our inner longing is a person, and that person is none other than Jesus Christ. You see, God created all of us with a need for Him, and nothing can fill that void except a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Until we establish that bond with God, we'll never be able to quiet our internal aching. Here's Dr. Stanley with more on the fulfillment of the empty life.
Emptiness is a horrible feeling, but it is a plague in this nation for which there is no medical prescription. It is a plague that has haunted the hearts of multitudes of people, not only here, but all around the world. People whose hearts are empty. There is no sense of meaning to life, no sense of direction, no sense of purpose. They're just existing. And you see, if you don't know something that many of us do know, what real purpose is there for living anyway? That is, if there is no God, if there is no Christ, what real purpose is there for living? And so what happens? People look at life, they look at their future, and they think, what's the use? And so they check out. Well, what I want to say to you in this message is this. There is indeed a real reason for living. There's a purpose for living. And no matter how empty you may feel, and as you look at your past and your background, and you see how absolutely horrible your past has been, and you ask yourself the question, could my life ever have any meaning? Could it ever have any purpose? Could I ever really amount to anything? Could I ever really have any real sense of self-esteem? Could I ever really feel important? Could I ever be somebody? The answer to that is absolutely yes. And that's what this message is all about, the fulfillment of the empty life. And I want you to turn, if you will, to John chapter 4. And here's the experience of a woman who felt the same kind of emptiness that some of you feel, and yet she was filled up, overflowing, abounding, and excited and motivated about what she discovered the day she met Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 4, and let's begin reading in those early verses of this fourth chapter. Jesus is on his way to Galilee, and the third verse of this fourth chapter begins, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That could have been a Roman time, 12 noon, or a Jewish time, 6 o'clock in the evening. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And her response, the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. Well, that was sort of a ridiculous kind of response. Listen to this. Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. Here is a woman who came upon the scene and met a stranger, and in their response is her life is entirely changed. Again, let me give you a little background of what's happening. Jesus is on his way to Galilee, and the scripture said he must go through Samaria. Now listen to me carefully. Jesus Christ never took an unimportant step in his day, nor does he ever take an unimportant step in your life and my life. This was a providential moment in time for Jesus and the woman whom he met there at the well, the Samaritan woman. She came out to get water for her family, and on this particular moment, she met someone who absolutely changed her life. But it was not typical for Jews to go through Samaria because Samaritans and Jews did not get along. In fact, they had a real, true hatred for each other. And so when this woman said to Jesus, who said to her, give me a drink, she was startled that this man, who was a Jew, and she could tell he was, would even ask her for a drink. But here is the woman who symbolizes millions of people, who in her own best efforts had tried her best to get her life full of something that would satisfy this deep yearning, longing for love, for completeness, for fulfillment. Imagine the kind of emptiness she must have felt. That somehow, no matter what she did, it didn't work. She couldn't please these men. No matter what she did, she couldn't please them. And here she is empty and still looking for something to satisfy the longing of her heart. She's typical of people all over this world who are looking, searching, trying to find something to satisfy their heart. Because you see, a person who is empty on the inside, they have no sense of real purpose for living. They have no real sense of meaning to life. Life doesn't have any real, genuine, true direction. They're just sort of living. Their pleasures are short-lived. There are moments of pleasure. There are times of pleasure, but they're short-lived. Because you see, as long as there's this vacuum in the spirit of a person, something desperate is missing. And the tragedy is, when you try to look to find out what it is, and you try this and try that and try the other, and somehow nothing seems to satisfy this emptiness. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are, how educated you are, or how ignorant you may be. Education and wealth and all these things will not satisfy this deep yearning, this longing, this emptiness that plagues and gnaws at the heart of so many people today. Now, once in a while, I'll meet people who will say to me, I feel so empty. And then they give me a good, legitimate, emotional reason for doing so, at least temporarily. Sometimes I meet people, men or women, whose marriage partner has passed away 2 months before, a month before, 6 months, or last year. And sometimes they will say, I feel so empty. We had such a deep, abiding love. We were married for 45 years, and he was my childhood sweetheart. I feel so empty. Well, I understand that kind of emptiness to some degree, and I think a person would have to be there before they could fully understand that. That's not the kind of emptiness that I'm talking about that is for a person who is a Christian, because that is a time of grief that a person will go through, walk through, until God heals that time of grief. And so there are people who feel empty because they've lost someone whom they love dearly. But there are many other people out there who have not lost anybody. And they're empty. They've got everything imaginable. They can do just about anything they want to do, buy anything they want to buy, and yet they're still empty. And so what happens when this emptiness sometimes becomes so intense and the pain is gnawing pain, and especially as a person gets a little older and they think, God, isn't there a better future for me than this? And sometimes when a person is separated or divorced and they look down through the years and they think, God, you mean I will never be able to have anybody else? This awesome sense of overwhelming loneliness and estrangement and emptiness and emotional pain that gnaws and cuts and grinds at the human heart. Is it any wonder people say, why keep on living in a life like this? And yet I want to tell you, my friend, you don't have to live an empty life. And you see, what happens is sometimes a person takes great risk for their future by trying to fill it up now. And what happens is they look in the wrong places trying to find the right thing to fill up their emptiness. And this is what this woman was doing, the Samaritan woman. The only thing she knew to do, if her heart was not full of love, if she did not feel loved and feel important and feel like somebody, if this man didn't do it and she didn't please him, she'd try a little harder and try to please the next one. So she married the next man, and she tried to give him all he wanted and meet all of his desires and please him, and she worked extra hard. And what happened? He said, I don't want you. Get out. I'm leaving. And she tries again. And that isn't it either. You know why? Listen to me carefully. Because in every single living human being, there is this God-shaped vacuum. The only person who can fill it is God. Anything else you try to put in that place within your heart won't fit. It just leaks out. It won't fit. It won't stay. You can't fill up God's vacuum with anything, anybody, any experience, any pleasure. It won't fill it. Because you see, that's the way God made us. He made you and me for Him. And He says that He predestined that every single one of us would be conformed to the likeness of His Son. If that is God's purpose, and it is so clearly written in the Word that it is, if He's predestinated us to be conformed to His likeness and to make us like Him, then, my friend, He's not going to allow anything in this world to satisfy the deep, yearning hunger, that emptiness in the human heart, but Himself. Only He is going to be able to fill that big hole in your life. Then what about those people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? They trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But you know what? They feel this same kind of emptiness. Maybe not to the same degree, or maybe to the same degree, but they feel empty. Why do you suppose that's true? Because one of the reasons that people feel empty is sin. It isn't just because of some loss of a loved one. It isn't because things are not going exactly right or some great disappointment. But sometimes it's just pure sin. You see, sin divides the mind. And sin causes a person to feel empty. It doesn't make any difference how full your life may be of things and schedules and time and everything else. There is an awesome kind of emptiness that is the result of disobedience to God. And how many people started out in their Christian life? They loved God. They began to read the Scriptures. They began to pray. And then somewhere along the way, they took a little detour. They intended for it to be short-lived, but they took a little detour. Then they began to drift. And now they feel empty on the inside. And they can't figure out why they're so empty. Oh, they say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to read the Bible every day. You don't have to pray every day. You don't have to give to God. My friend, any man or any woman who is living outside the will of God does experience, listen, does experience emptiness. Because God has made us with this God-shaped vacuum that only He can fill. And when we try to crowd Him out with other things and other experiences and other people, and we ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, ignore God in our life, we begin to drift, you're going to feel emptiness. There is not anything that man's ever created, man's ever made, nothing on the face of this earth that can feel that but God Himself. And until a person realizes that, they'll go through life. Isn't it a shame for people who have everything in the world that money could buy to live their lives but empty on the inside? They can fill up. They can fill their financial accounts. They can fill their time. But they can't fill their heart. This woman came to this well day after day. And she could fill her water jug, but she couldn't fill her heart. She came this day with an empty jug and an empty heart. And she met somebody who told her, I'll give you a drink, and if you'll take a drink of what I want to give you, you won't ever feel thirsty again. Because what I'm going to give you is going to be like a well of water springing up on the inside of you, bubbling up and flowing unto eternal life. And I wonder, if you were told the truth, if you would have to say today, you know, I'm one of those persons who feels empty. I'm doing everything I know to do. But the real truth is I do feel empty. I don't really have any real sense of meaning and purpose to my life. I do feel what you talk about when you talk about this gnawing pain down inside. And I'm all right as long as I can stay busy and have fellowship with my friends. But when I get alone, there's something missing. I'm all right as long as I'm achieving and accomplishing, but after I've achieved this goal, I've got to have another one, because you see, then the gnawing comes back. And after I've reached this plateau, there's something wrong, because just when I think I'm going to be able to enjoy life, now that I've reached this goal, it doesn't work. The fullness that God offers is a gift of God. The fullness is a gift of grace. The fullness comes not in a vase, not in a jar, not in a bucket, not in a package. Listen, it comes not even in some ideology or some philosophy. It comes in a real person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him will not perish." Now listen carefully, but have eternal life. Did you know that you can perish in this life and still be alive? Is it not perishing to live your whole life and feel empty and have no sense of meaning and purpose? Is that not the waste of a life if it's not invested in things that have eternal value? Isn't that not perishing while this physical body is still alive? Aren't we perishing our personalities if you have no real sense of self-esteem and a sense of importance and value in life to your husband, your wife, your children, to your parents, to the people you work with, your friends? Haven't you really already perished to some degree if you've lost your real basic purpose of being alive? Here's a woman who'd lost it. And she came upon the scene, the normal thing that she usually did, and Jesus said to her, "The gift of God is what I want to give you. And this gift of God's going to fill you up. It's going to make you happy. It's going to give you peace. You're going to over..." He says, "What I'm going to give you is going to be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And what was her response? "Give me a drink now." She wanted it now. But I wonder how many of you are saying, "You know, I've already wrecked my life. I've already made some mistakes. I've already done so many things trying to get it filled up. And now, here's where I am. I'd have to admit that I've tried everything and nothing's worked." Wonderful. What do you mean wonderful? Wonderful. How could you say wonderful? I'll tell you why. Because if you've tried everything else and that doesn't work, now maybe you're ready to try the real thing. And that's somebody. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. You say, "No, don't give me that Jesus bit." Well, let me ask you a question. If you've tried everything else, why not try him? You've tried everything else. You've tried drugs, you've tried affairs, you've tried money, you've tried work, you've tried prestige, prominence, position. You've tried everything you know to try, and you're still empty. Won't you try him? You see, he said, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, overflowing, fulfilled." Peace, not knowing. Satisfied, not thirsty, yearning, hungering, and attempting to fill it with things that won't fill you. Why not try him? He says, "If you and I are willing to confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." But you know what? That won't make you feel fulfilled. That just gets rid of the guilt. That just eliminates something that ought not to be there. He came not only to forgive us of our sins, but he came to live on the inside of us. Do you know what that means? That means that when you have him, you have the full life of God living on the inside of you. He comes to indwell our spirit. And when he comes to indwell our spirit, he comes to do what? To live his life through us and to love, listen, to express his love in us, to us, and to express his love through us. You see, no one will ever feel complete until they're able to experience God loving them unconditionally. My friend, it begins with this. Believing the testimony of Scripture that Jesus Christ came into this world to forgive us of our sins and to make us his children. If you're willing to ask him to forgive you of your sins and tell him that you do believe the witness of Scripture that Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary. And when he died, he paid your sin debt in full. And the moment you're willing to ask him to forgive you of your sins, you're forgiven in that moment. You don't have to plead and beg and pray again for him to do something that he's done. He died for your sins. And the moment you ask him to forgive you, you're cleansed. The moment you say, I do receive, Lord Jesus, you as my personal Savior, here's what happens. You don't just join a church and get baptized and do some external things. In that moment, the Bible says the Lord Jesus comes to indwell you and then to fill you up with his love and to love through you and to live through you his life. It is yours for the asking. That's why Jesus said to this woman. And one of the very first things he said to her, if you knew the gift of God, you see, the fullness that fills up the empty life is a gift of God. It is the person of Jesus Christ who is yours by faith. And our Father, thank you for loving us. Loving is enough to not allow us to keep on living in sin and disobedience. Loving is enough to provide someone who would satisfy the deepest yearnings, the deepest longing of our heart. It is my prayer, Father, and the prayer of all of us, that every single solitary with no exception, every single person would sense the love of Christ, the unconditional love of God, the open personal invitation to love, forgiveness, and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For we ask it in his name for his sake. Amen.